Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Greetings from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 34. Sattvam Vishuddham Shrayate Bhavanstito. Sharirinam Shreya Upayanam Vapu. Vedakriya Yoga Tapasamadibhis. Tavarhanam yena jana samihate. Sattvam Vishuddham Shrayate Bhavanstito. Sharirinam Shreya Upayanam Vapu. Vedakriya Yoga Tapasamadibhis. Tavarhanam yena jana samihate. Sattvam Vishuddham Shreyate Bhavanstito. Saririnam Shreya Upayanam Vapu. Vedakriya Yoga Tapasamadibhis. Tavarhanam yena jana samihate. Please chant, please. Ladies, please. Sattvam Vishuddham Shrayate Bhavanstito. Sarinam Shreya Upayanam Vapu. Sattvam, existence, Vishuddham, transcendental, beyond the three modes of material nature. Shrayate, accepts, Bhavan, your lordship, Stito, during the maintenance of this material world. Shariranam, of all living entities, Shreya, of supreme auspiciousness, Upayanam, for the benefit, Vapu, a transcendental form or body, Vedakriya, by ritualistic ceremonies, according to the directions of the Vedas, Yoga, by practice of devotion. Tapaha, by austerities. Samadhi, by becoming absorbed in transcendental existence. Tava, your. Arhanam, worship. Yena, by such activities. Jana, human society. Samihate, offers its obligations unto you. Translation. These are the demigods offering prayers to the Supreme Lord at his advent, his appearance. O Lord, during the time of maintenance, you manifest several incarnations, all with transcendental bodies beyond the material modes of nature. When you appear in this way, you bestow all good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform Vedic activities such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18.3, Yajna Dana Tapa Karma Natya Jam. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, this is from 18.3, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, charity, austerity, and all such prescribed duties are never to be given up. Yagyo danam tapas jaiva pavanani manishinam, from 18.5. Even one who is very much advanced in spiritual realization must still execute the Vedic principles. Even in the lowest stage, the karmis are advised to work for the sake of the Lord. Yagyartat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhana, which means work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. That's from Bhagavad Gita 3.9. The words yajnatart karmana indicate that while performing all kinds of duties, one should remember that these duties should be performed to satisfy the Lord, the Supreme Lord. Svakarmana tam abhyarcha. It's from the Bhagavad Gita 18.46. According to Vedic principles, there must be divisions of human society, chatur varnyam maya shrishtam, Bhagavad Gita 4.13. There should be Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And everyone should learn to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Tam Abhyarcha. This is real human society. And without this system, we are left with animal society. The modern activities of human society are described in Srimad Bhagavatam as the activities of Gokara, cows and asses, Saeva Gokara, Srimad Bhagavatam 1084, 13. Everyone is acting in a bodily concept of life involving society, friendship, and love for the improvement of economic and political conditions. And thus all activities are enacted in ignorance. The Supreme Personality therefore comes to teach us how to act according to the Vedic principles. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preached that in this age, the Vedic activities cannot be systematically performed because people are so fallen. He gave this recommendation from the Shastras. Harinama, harinama, hariname eva kevalam, kalo nasyeva, 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 gatir anyata. This is found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 17:21. And it means, the translation, in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, no other way, there is no other way, unquote. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is therefore teaching people all over the world how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And this has proved very much effective in all places at all times. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in order to teach us Vedic principles intended for understanding Him. Vedascha sarver aham eva vedya. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. We should always know that when Krishna and Lord Chaitanya appeared, they appeared in Shuddha Sattva bodies. And pure bodies, pure devotee bodies. One should not mistake the body of Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a material body like ours. For Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as needed for the benefit of the entire human society. Out of causeless mercy, the Lord appears in different ages in His original Shuddha Sattva, that's pure goodness. It is above just goodness. In the three modes of material nature, the highest is goodness. But this goes above the modes of material nature because it is on the transcendental platform. The Lord appears in different ages in His original Shuddha Sattva transcendental body to elevate human society to the spiritual platform upon which they can truly benefit. Unfortunately, modern politicians and other leaders stress the bodily comforts of life. Yes, yatma buddhi kunape tridatuke. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:84-13. And concentrate on the activities of this ism and that ism, which they describe in different kinds of flowery language. Essentially, such activities are the activities of animals. Svaeva gokara. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:84-13. We should learn how to act from Bhagavad Gita, which explains everything for human understanding. Thus, we can become happy even in this age of Kali. Satvam Vishuddham Shriyate Bhavanstito Shariranam. Excuse me. Shariranam Shreya Upayanam Vapu Vedakriya Yoga Tapasamadi Bees Tavarhanam Yena Janasami Yate. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, And my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Begging for the prayers of all the Vaishnavas, that I may say something useful and beneficial. So here it is mentioned that the Supreme Lord comes. He comes to help. He comes to teach. He comes to guide. Persons in the material world really have no knowledge as to what really can benefit them, generally speaking. They only know that if it feels good, then it must be good, but usually it's bad. That's what happens. Feeling good or stimulating the stimulation of sense gratification, either in the body, in the mind, in the intelligence, does not necessarily lead to happiness. The problem in human society today is that people have no concept, they have no idea of what is real happiness and what is false happiness. If they had an idea of the difference between the two, then they could at least consider and choose one of them. But only one of them is thrown at them, and that is the concept of the bodily concept of life. Excuse me. So, therefore, it's only natural that in the bodily concept of life, persons want to improve their bodily situation. Improving the bodily situation means what will bring them wealth, what will bring them beauty, what will bring them strength, what will bring power, what will bring fame, what will bring material knowledge, and what will bring false detachment. This is what people think is will bring them real happiness. But the very opposite is true, because all of these things, when pursued, when one absorbs himself or herself in them, what they do is they cause one to become more and more attached to them. Beauty, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation, material knowledge, all of these lead to some form of attachment. Why attachment? Originally, we were all Krishna conscious living entities, living peacefully and happily in the eternal world, in the spiritual world. But at some point in eternity, we decided that we wanted to live independently of Krishna. And we wanted to experience what it would be like to be a Krishna, a lord, a power, a chief, a controller. And therefore, we decided to give up serving Krishna in order to be served as a Krishna in the material world. To be served as a Krishna means just what it says, to be served, to be honored, to be glorified, to be applauded, to be praised. All of these things which tend to make a person feel like a lord. When the very opposite comes, such as if a person is criticized, or he's dishonored, or looked down upon, or condemned, then he feels contracted, he feels small, doesn't feel like a lord. So people are always striving to try to imitate the Lord in his position of being powerful, of being great, of being glorious. And they want to be honored, they want to be looked up to. They want to be wealthy, they want to be strong, thinking that will mean, that will bring happiness. So they don't know that all these things will bring only unhappiness, because they are going against the very grain of existence. That being the constitutional position of the living entity is to be an eternal servant of God. Jivera Swarupahoi Krishnera Nitya Das. This is what is our true nature, and when we act out of our nature, then the very opposite of what we want occurs, takes place, and results. So people are always surprised, always wondering, you know, why they're getting this misery and that misery. I get this disease, I get this disorder, or I'm living in a place where there's a hurricane and my house is blown down. Or I'm walking on the wrong side of the street or driving on the wrong side of the road and somebody smashes into my car. Why is all this happening to me? Why is all this misery coming? These things are happening every day. If you turn on the news, we've all done that, you see that car accidents, people are being shot, persons are going into different areas or different institutions with guns and shooting people indiscriminately just for the sake, for the pleasure. So it's obvious that people are miserable. And this is happening more and more because I've seen, you know, coming from the 1940s and 50s, this hardly would ever happen. Yes, there were murders, but not on the scale of today. Not where so many young people are getting guns and just going ahead and shooting people indiscriminately for the mere fun of it. And then when the police come to get them, they shoot themselves to deny the justice system the opportunity to imprison them for life. It's like a venge. Ha ha, you're not going to get me. And so they shoot themselves. They think that they're somehow going to be benefited, not knowing that what they become is a ghost with tremendous material desire and no means to by which to satisfy it unless they can find some weak being and haunt that weak being, get into the body and work or live through them and possess that person. So material life, as I said, people are searching for happiness in those forms that I mentioned, in beauty, wealth, strength, and fame. And all they're getting is more and more misery. That's because they don't know what real, as I said, happiness is. False happiness depends upon externals. And real happiness depends upon internals. Internal means learning how to depend upon the Supreme Lord for no other purpose than to serve Him and to please Him. Working, serving, to please Krishna is the way, is the means by which we gain His grace. And if we serve in the proper attitude, then His grace comes in great degree. A person performing devotional service, just performing it, not even caring about what he's doing or thinking about what he's doing, but just doing it because it helps to further the mission of Srila Prabhupada, the Supreme Lord, gets benefit. He gets some grace. A person who does service to the Supreme Lord, he does service with the Supreme Lord with some feeling, with some love, and with some understanding, with an eagerness to please Krishna, the result of that is that Krishna gives more blessings. Because he sees that this devotee is ready to sacrifice himself, surrender himself, offer himself, do anything simply to give pleasure to Krishna. Whereas another person may be just indifferent, just doing the job mechanically, robotically, just because he knows it's a good thing, but he doesn't really think about Krishna. He's not attentive. A person who is truly a Krishna conscious, when he's serving, he wants to make sure everything that he does is beautiful, is right, is acceptable and enjoyable for the Lord. So he's very careful, he's very alert, very aware of every action that he performs, so that his beloved Lord will be fully, truly, ecstatically satisfied. The Lord doesn't need him, but the very fact that this devotee is making extra effort to try and please him gives the Lord satisfaction and a desire to reciprocate with due satisfaction. And so the devotee begins to feel different levels, different degrees of joy, of peace, of satisfaction, of love. His whole being becomes surfeited with ecstasy, with happiness. So this is internal. This is happiness which comes by the mercy of Krishna. So in general life, people have no idea of this kind of happiness. It's real happiness, it's true, and it lasts. While ecstasy may have different heights, different intensities, nonetheless, a devotee who is purely and truly Krishna conscious, as we saw Srila Prabhupada, he was always inwardly joyful. Sometimes people would say that Prabhupada looked very, very overly serious. Sometimes he would comment to Prabhupada like that. He says, "You look very grave. It's like maybe something is bothering you." And Prabhupada said, "You have no idea what you're talking about. I'm as ecstatic as ever." But he maintained a very modest persona. He doesn't have to go around putting on a big ecstasy face. Prabhupada preferred to look very grave, so that devotees would not take this lightly, this Krishna consciousness lightly, or even take him very lightly, that they would take him very seriously. Sometimes if you tell too many jokes, then the whole philosophy gets lost. Of course, a few punctuations of humor here and there, Prabhupada would do that. But he never would extend that. He would never make it a joke session. As I have sometimes seen some devotees do. They go from one joke to another. And everybody is sitting waiting for the next laugh. And that's not what it's about. It's about actually seriously, sincerely, and deeply begging for the mercy of Krishna. And Krishna teaches us. That's what it says here in the verse. That Krishna has come here to teach us how we can regain our original happiness that we had in the spiritual world, which we gave up in order to try to imitate Krishna and be a Krishna, be a Lord, be a controller, be a chief. People are striving all over trying to be somebody. And when they get to a position, they feel very happy. But it's external happiness. And when that position begins to depress or decrease or become smaller, they become very unhappy. Their happiness is determined by what the external appearances, the external happenings, how it impinges upon our psychology. Even in the area of sports, sometimes people have a team that they root for, they identify with, they consider that team is an extension of their own body, because my body is in Los Angeles, so therefore the basketball team, the LA Lakers, I will root for them, and when they win, I win, when they lose, I lose. So isn't that something, that if the LA Lakers lose 5 games in a row, a person who is rooting for the LA Lakers, who identifies with them, he will be depressed for 5 days and he has to take some uppers or some type of either tranquilizers or uplifters in order to be able to function? Why should our happiness be determined by anything in the external world? Our happiness should be determined by the grace of Krishna. And to the degree that we receive His grace, to that degree that we grow in happiness. And that happiness, it's always there. It's like an underground spring. It's always flowing, but sometimes it comes up higher. Sometimes we have an really intense kirtan, and we're glorifying the Lord. We're jumping, we're dancing, we're praising, and we're loving the Supreme Lord, and therefore He's appreciating. And He fills us with this ecstasy. The hairs go up, one becomes stunned or perspires, or the color may become blanched. These are different ecstatic symptoms. Or one may tremble. Different expressions can come as a result of the Lord's reciprocating with the devotee. As long as the devotee continues to worship and glorify and honor
the Supreme Lord. The Lord is, of course, pleased. And as I said, he reciprocates and enables the devotee to feel happy. That happiness manifests. It's not something that comes and goes. Of course, in the early stages, it may come and go. But as one becomes more mature in his realizations, more mature in his development, more mature in his understanding, in his realizations of Krishna, which comes from the grace of Krishna, then it becomes steadier and steadier. And the bliss is always there. It's always, always there. And it only gets better at certain times. In the scriptures, it's mentioned that when the gopis used to make up their faces beautiful for no other purpose than when Krishna would look at them, he would see the beauty and his eyes would become very greatly pleased by their beauty. And when they would see him pleased by their beauty, they would become more pleased. They would become very ecstatic, big smiles, open eyes. And Krishna would see that and he would become more ecstatic. So it was like a competition of ecstasy, which had no end. It just went on and on. So that's the main purpose, the main goal, the main idea is to focus all of our energies, all our attention, all our interest upon bringing Krishna greater and greater joy, greater and greater happiness. He already is happy. He's already blissful. That's his nature. Satchit Ananda. Ananda is one of his aspect of his nature. But that Ananda can be increased. It can be intensified. It can be heightened. And he likes to have it heightened. But he's not dependent upon it being heightened. But if a devotee wants to offer that and give that to him, then he accepts it. And pleased with it, he reciprocates with the devotee. So, again, coming back to the original point, people have become mad with this idea of wanting to be a lord. And the result is that the modes of nature work upon them. The mode of ignorance may work upon the person. And he wants to be a lord in mode of ignorance, for example. So ignorance means to be lazy. It means to be sleepy. It means to be indifferent, to be thoughtless, to be careless, to be doubtful. This is a mode of ignorance. To want to get things easy for nothing. To be unconscionable. One may rob, one may steal. One may commit all kinds of crimes and not even have any conscience about these things. Or in the mode of passion, one is always trying to compete, one trying to be better than someone, be higher than someone, greater than someone, can't stand to hear that somebody is being praised or honored or glorified. That's the first sign. If somebody, some devotee is being praised or glorified, we should be happy and think, well, I'm going to try to emulate that devotee because he's being praised by a person of note. So instead, another devotee may say, well, no, I don't think he's that. No, he shouldn't be getting that praise. I should be getting it. Thinking like that. No, why? He's what is it? He puts it down. Then finds somebody to talk to whom he can put that person down. Talk about so that they can say, yeah, did you really think he's what the... No, I don't think so. No, neither do I. And they feel big in their condemnation. This is a very false form and very shallow form of happiness, to feel big in the condemnation of some devotee who happens to be doing very nicely and whom Krishna is reciprocating with. Therefore, as it is mentioned in this very wonderful verse, in order to overcome this concept that we have come into this world with, false happiness, we need to continue doing the things that will make us truly and really happy. We must be chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with all our heart and soul. It should be chanted, you know, with affection, with appreciation, that we receive something that's so rare, so great, which billions of people don't even have. And we have it as the means to purify the soul. The soul is covered with filth, and now the soul can be... unbridled of this filth and cleanse until ultimately one can actually experience himself as Satchitananda. Real happiness, inner happiness. One whose happiness is within. I was trying to think of that verse, one whose happiness is within and who's active within. It just escapes me at the moment. But the important point is that in a person who is developing inner happiness, inner satisfaction, inner joy, that person is truly happy. But a person who is looking for more and more external forms of happiness is just becoming more and more miserable. Because the more you become attached to these externals, when we don't have them, or when they disappear, or when they're taken away, what happens? We become miserable. So therefore, a person who is inwardly happy, if the external is, if it's a hurricane, or if it's raining, or it's not, or things are not, but we might say, going well. Maybe he's lost something, or maybe somebody stole something. He's not affected. He's not disturbed. Why is he not disturbed? Because those things are not the wealth that he truly holds on to. His wealth is the Supreme Lord, whom he whom he is attached to. And that attachment to the Supreme Lord is what gives him the joy. And all other things are just minor pleasures, which he does not consider of very much, of very great importance. So we have a great opportunity. Srila Prabhupada has taught us all of these different things. He's given us these wonderful books. And if we truly take advantage of them by reading them regularly and studying them regularly, and then sharing what we have, what results from our study with others who are less fortunate, then we will find that our own inner happiness will continue to grow and develop and advance. And the result of that is that we will become truly and deeply Krishna conscious. And when we become truly and deeply Krishna conscious, as I said, nothing external affects or disturbs or shakes us. But in fact, we are indifferent. The very things that people want, they want to be peaceful, they want to be serene, they want to be calm, they have to take things. The devotee, the only thing he takes is his devotional service to Krishna. That's what he takes. That's the antidote to all the material problems and pressures and stresses and problems and pains. Krishna is the answer to this. So, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Are there any questions or comments? Now, there's a question back there. Yes, please. Can somebody get the microphone so that the... Just one moment, please. So that persons listening on the internet can hear you. Just a sec. Just a second, please. He's getting the microphone for you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
My question, at the beginning of the class, you had spoke about false detachment, and I was hoping...
What is that? I didn't hear that.
False detachment? I was hoping you could expand on that.
False what?
Detachment.
Okay, yes, sure.
As one of the things that people who are materialistic try to cultivate to enhance their ego.
A little louder, please.
As one of the things that people who are materialistic try to cultivate to enhance their ego, and I was hoping you could expand on that.
Yeah, surely. The other things are obvious, but false detachment is a better word for it, a more common word, but it's trying to be cool all the time. False detachment, something happens, there's some difficulty, there's some problem, and a person puts on a show of detachment. No, I'm not bothered. This doesn't bother me. I can handle that. This kind of a mentality. But actually, inwardly, you're really very much disturbed, you see. But in order to put on a show, put on an appearance of a person who's cool, because we respect, we honor people who are cool, who are controlled, who are steady in their mind, who are not easily agitated. That's an enviable or admirable quality. So therefore, he's simply trying to put on the show of a person who has real serenity, real peace, real inner strength. And that we have a lot of that. And people take these pills or potions or whatever in order to stay calm so that they can put on that particular demeanor because then they know that they will be thought of as a very peaceful, a very together, a very with-it type of person. So that's the idea. In other words, appearance and reality is what is at stake here. What we appear to be is not what is really be. So, but what I'm talking about is what we should try to cultivate, that quality, that inner peace that I spoke of, so that you don't have to put on a show. You actually really are not affected or upset or disturbed or shaken by these things because you know what is real, what is true, and what is forever, as opposed to all these tangible things in the world which we know are here today and gone tomorrow. You look at the beautiful leaves across the street, they're beautiful. But they're going to, in 3 months, they won't be there. Or the leaves will turn color. Nothing in the material world really stays the same. So knowing that, the devotee is ready for any and all of the vicissitudes that come to one. All the different changes that come, which can impact upon us in a very, very upsetting or disturbing way if we are not insulated with the armor of inner peace from attachment to Krishna. Okay. Does that answer your point? Okay. Is there any other comment or any question in this regard? No? Well, then everyone is excused. And thank you all very much for your coming here and for your devotional service. Hare Krishna.
Oh, no, they're not going to do prasad because it will be a big job.